Hi everyone, good afternoon or good evening, good morning, depends where you are around the world. This is Shai from Raising the Frequency in Israel, and today I'm with a special guest, Dr. Robert O. Young, and we will speak about some interesting subjects like viruses. Do they exist? If yes, if not, what does it mean for us? We'll speak about graphene oxide and some other shit that may be in the injections. So, without further ado, let's start. Please share this podcast. See you in a bit. Yes, so hi again. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Dr. Robert Young. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for being with us. And just before we jump in into the subjects, which are fairly interesting, I should say, especially now, if you can just tell the audience who you are, a bit about your credentials, so just to touch base a bit, you know, and everyone will be on the same page.
Okay, well, I'm a retired professional athlete. I retired at the age of 29 in the sport of tennis, which was my passion. I love music. I love to sing. You can actually hear me sing on YouTube. I have a couple of songs on there. Music is a beautiful way to communicate, especially to the soul. My background in biology has always been an interest. I've studied many disciplines. My background is in naturopathy and in nutrition. So I have an ND, but I also have a doctorate PhD in nutrition. But I think the thing that's helped me the most is my doctorate. So in science with emphasis in biochemistry. But I had the beautiful opportunity to study with Dr. Marie Blecker in Essen, Germany, where I learned the doctrine of pleomorphism in contrast to the germ theory. And of course, since that time, I've been on the opposite side of the debate. Between the germ theory and the terrain theory, but I think it's a debate that needs to take place, a serious debate in qualifying that germs don't cause disease. Germs are the symptoms of cellular breakdown and transformation, and they're endogenously created, which is really at the essence of viral fragments or protein fragments, which have been classified as viruses wrongfully and then computerized to build some sort of genetic model as it relates to that particular entity that they're trying to describe. So it's not very scientific, to say the least, but my background has taken me by my work in optical microscopy and transmission and scanning microscopy, as well as spectrometry or spectroscopy. Identifying various elements contained in supplements, in food. But I would say the emphasis of my 40 years of work has been on the blood, and primarily on the blood and how our lifestyles, what we eat, what we drink, what we breathe, what we feel, what we believe, how that affects the quality of the blood. And I often, quote the Bible, and the reason I do that is because I respect the words of Moses when he said, "For the life of all flesh is the blood," and so I take that literally. I mean, the blood, Muhammad. For those who are, follow Muhammad, he said that. In a rhetorical question, don't you understand that you were created out of one drop of blood. And what happens in fertilization of an egg, when a sperm fertilizes an egg, a drop of blood is created. And out of that drop of blood, every cell in the human body is created. And I think that's a very important distinction that we need to understand, that on a physical level, we are different. On a spiritual, emotional level, we are all unique. That's why they call it a soul, because a soul is a, based on colloidal chemistry, is an integration of dissimilar ingredients. And in this case, we're dealing with physicality. We're dealing with the physical body that's integrated with something eternal in nature, which is referred to as spirit body. But there's aspects of that that create this soul that makes us uniquely different and definitely significant in the eyes of God. So life is precious. I believe that with all my heart. Every soul is precious and significant. This experience that we're all going through is the great experiment of learning the duality of life, that there needs be opposition in all things that we might learn by our experience. I think I've learned more in the last few years than I've learned in the last 20 years of my life.
I agree.
Because it's not because I wasn't studying, but it's literally pushed me to the point of understanding, trying to understand, things that, and asking good questions of what is really going on. And so, I don't know, my background then is, the last 40 years has been in investigation of how our lifestyles affect the human organism. And specifically, for the last 40 years, I've been studying the effects of cell membranes and how they give rise to what I call the corona effect and the spike protein effect. These are not diseases. These are transformations that the cell goes through. So I want to put people's minds at ease that these so-called spike proteins do not cause disease. The corona is not a disease. It's an effect that takes place based on a compromised internal environment. And that's what I see at the cellular level. So
that, thank you.
That, yeah, you're welcome. That was kind of a long introduction, but
just before we dive in, I really connect to what you say. I also learned quite a bit in this last 2 years, although I've learned quite a lot before that, but obviously in the last 2 years, it's like exponential growth of learning for all of us. Well, not all of us, but the majority of us, or the minority of us. I'm not sure anymore, but still, basically, I know that it's, if I put it in the context of those who are in control, supposedly, and do what the fuck they want, sorry for my bad English, but I know that I don't mind to be banned on other platforms because I'm on my own platform. Given the context of what they've been doing for many years, right? Maybe it's dozens of years, maybe it's hundreds of years, it doesn't matter now, but they've been doing it for a long, long time. Knowing more or less how they think, how they walk, and giving the context to their way of walk, I can assume or presume that there are no viruses at all, and it's all a lie, because this is how they walk. They put a lie out there, and they paint it, they color it, they magnify it, they bombard us with news about this lie, regardless of the type of lie, all right? And then people fall into this trap of believing the lie, because when you repeat the same lie over and over again, people believe it, many people believe it, not all, but many people believe it. And so did I, by believing that viruses do exist, and virus is like a bacteria or a germ or something that is alive and is running here and running there. And when I sneeze, this little animal is moving from here to there, and it may cause a disease with someone else. And most people still, even those who are fully awake, apparently, are not fully awake. And we need to admit that we're still on the learning procedure here. But we need to admit also that we don't know all, and maybe viruses do not exist. Now, the main point, this is true when I'm talking about context, how they work. And just by that shy myself, I think, yes, there's maybe a lie here, but I need a proof. And when I speak to other doctors and I check the scientific ways of determining or proving that a virus exists, I see there's some faults there. And I think that if you can clarify the faults that are being done in the process of isolating a virus, and then maybe doing something else with what they've claimed to isolate, I think it will be very helpful for those who listen and watch this show, whether it's now or later on during the next few days, to know that this is again yet another lie by those who are supposedly in control. Can you clarify or tell us how exactly the lie works here in terms of isolating the virus and advertising to the whole world that there is a virus and is causing such and such?
Yeah, well, you got multiple questions here. And I think to simplify this for people, I think the ancient Latin, if we go back and look at the word virus, you can look it up for yourself. I encourage you to do so. You'll find that the word virus means poison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or and if we take that literally, what we're talking about, especially if you go back and look at the history of viruses, that word was not used synonymously as a separation from, let's say, a bacterium like E. coli. Viruses really, or the science of virology really came into existence in the 50s and 60s. And what was substituted from its original name were filterable bacterias. And these tests were done in the 18th and 19th centuries. So the history of it, they were talking about something so small that could not be seen by a sunlit microscope, because they were using light from the sun to actually illuminate the specimen that they were looking at. But the mosaic tobacco filterable bacteria, and that's what it was called back then. They were called filterable bacteria, that was discovered by Jenner. He was able to crystallize that. Now, can you crystallize an organic material, or can you crystallize a liquid? I mean, what crystallizes? I mean, you can freeze something. Crystal snowflakes is an example of that have mm-hmm. pattern and form.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't call snowflakes viruses.
No.
And we don't call them bacteria. And yet what he discovered was a crystalline form that was later then saying, well, that's the virus. And so there's this debate going on, which is not congruent in even what those virologists perceive or believe. Is a virus a liquid, or is virus a fragment of a cell or a genetic fragment, or is it actually a species? Is it living or is it dead?
Yeah.
Is it the exosome, which is a form that literally is expressed endogenously out of the cell when the cell is being attacked, mm-hmm. the cell is breaking down, just as the corona effect, where, you know, I course, I could show you some pictures of this later, where it's actually spiking. These are called echinocytes in hematology, or, you know, if cells are breaking off, their fragments are called schistocytes or endotoxins. So there's names for these things. But what confuses people is that things seem to get labeled as virus, which are not well understood. Now, I would say the viruses, taking the literal meaning of the word from the Latin, I'm going to take it for that, which I believe, because it can be crystallized. Mm-hmm. And the reason it can be crystallized is because wastes or acids or breakdown products can be crystallized. Organics cannot. I mean, you can put, you know, a piece of meat in the freezer, and yes, it freezes, but when you put ice in there, it forms crystals, okay? Yeah. Yeah. So this is what we're dealing with, is the debate, which even virologists will argue amongst themselves, of what they're even talking about. Hmm. Now, from the practical sense, there's what is called the Freedom of Information Act. And so we've gone out to over 144 institutions, 25 of which are governments. And we've asked them this question: using the scientific method of investigation, have you obtained a virus? Have you obtained matter? Have you then isolated out of that matter from the sick specimen an isolate, okay, through centrifuge, and taken that out, and then once you've isolated that and purified it, have you injected that into another organism and created the same symptomologies that were found in the first? That is the investigation that has never been done for HIV. It's never been done. Here you're looking at one of my articles. There is no evidence of the existence of any virus isolated. I have the links to all of the responses of over 144 institutions, 25 of them countries, from the U.S., India, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, U.K., England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Denmark, Norway, the Netherlands, Sweden, Spain, Europe, and the list goes on and on. No yeah. one can produce any evidence of an isolated virus by any name, HIV, Ebola, polio, measles, Spanish flu virus. In fact, it wasn't even called that. Then again, it was called a bacterium. Even Fauci called it a bacterial pneumonia in one of his his published articles. So if they're confused about what this is, how do they expect us to understand those who are in authority, those who are in positions who are speaking, you know, that we're supposed to be listening to, when they don't even know themselves and they don't have, they have zero evidence, zero evidence of a purified isolation that has not been taken in fragments and then computer generated to produce some theoretical virus, you see? But see, that's the promotion of a doctrine. And I might say this: there is nothing so false that does not contain some element of truth. And so it is with the viral theory, so it is with the germ theory. We've been programmed to believe it without any solid evidence of its case. Now, let me give you a metaphor. Hopefully this will be simple enough for me and all of us to understand it, because I believe in what Einstein said. And he said, if you cannot explain this simply, then you do not know what you're talking about. And so when you listen to people that are talking about this subject, they don't even know what they're talking about. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And they're making this stuff on the fly. That's why you have inconsistencies in statements about viruses, because they don't agree themselves. Okay, they do agree on one thing. They agree that this may lead to their outcomes, those who are speaking this way. And I really don't want to address what their outcomes are. I think, you know, there's enough witnesses out there to actually demonstrate what their outcomes are. I think Australia is a perfect example as a test model of what the outcomes are. I mean, if we're going to use that as a model,
yeah.
Japan is the antithesis of that. Japan has,
for now, yes.
Yeah, Japan has said, no, we're shutting this down.
Yeah.
We're not mandating, we're not forcing, we're not. And the reason for that is because, and Russia, the reason why you hear nothing about Russia is because they're totally off this thing. And the real true virus is a wave. It's a frequency. It's a sound. It's coming from electromagnetic frequencies, and it's pulsating. In fact, I don't know if you heard on the news where they said the several airlines are concerned about the 5G, initiation of a frequency that operates at 8.4 gigahertz pulsating will interfere with the flight systems in order for, you know, landing. And they're concerned about this, that this could cause many accidents. Well, isn't that the point? You know, the point is to create division. The point is to create confusion. The point is to enjoin, you know, people. So they talk about vaccinated and unvaccinated people as if we're enemies. No, we're one people under one God, even though we may have a different name for that God. It's that. So what I would like to suggest to you is to look at the definitions. Now, if you look at corona from the Latin, this is a flare. Okay, corona, you've probably seen a corona flare. It relates specifically to radiation. Yeah. If you put those two words together, coronavirus, you have radiation poisoning based upon the ancient language. And I take that literally. And the reason why is because of a study I did in 1998 with Dr. Beverly Rubick, which just published the connection between electromagnetic frequencies and the effects on the human biofield. But we published in 2001 in the International Journal of Complementary and Alternative Medicine the effects of low electrical fields. Okay. They were pulsating out of the Eta Bay when we did this blinded study, and how it affected the blood, because that's my specialty, right? How does EMF affect the blood? And I've got some, you know, pictures of Heinz bodies of red blood cells exploding, being crystallized in their own waste that are a result of radiation poisoning. So I think I've kind of gone off a little bit on your question. But I think if people understand this very simple concept, this metaphor, and I call it the fishbowl metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with a question. And you don't have to answer this question. You just think about it, okay? If you had a aquarium, a saltwater aquarium, and the fish in the aquarium were sick, what would you do? Would you vaccinate the fish? Would you treat the fish? Or would you change or clean up the environment that it was swimming in?
But you asked me not to answer, so
I'm okay. Okay, but go ahead. Since you started, go ahead and answer, yeah.
Obviously, clean the water, clean the environment.
Okay, so we have some innate intelligence in all of us. And the reason I know that is because if you ask any of your children that simple thing with a goldfish, if you have a goldfish mm-hmm. and the fish is sick, Johnny, Jill, whatever the child's name is, what should we do? Should we treat the fish? Should we inject the fish? Or should we put the fish in cleaner water? What do you suggest?
The last option, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. So that's called the fishbowl metaphor. So what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with environmental pollution. And that environmental pollution is radiation. And it began when they released radio waves worldwide in the introduction in 1918 that led to the Spanish flu epidemic. Of course, the inoculations that they were trying to treat, here again, this is the theory, the germ theory versus the terrain theory. Now, I can't take credit for that because I think a great scientist by the name of Antoine Béchamp, who I learned about in 1996, and I actually went to the University of Paris, the School of Medicine, the medical library, and I pulled 29 of his books, one of which was called The Blood, the Third Anatomical Element. And I learned in 1999 what I'd already learned in 1994 when I actually saw a biological transformation and germs being born out of cells that were deteriorating. So, in other words, rod bacteria is like anthrax. We're being born right out of the blood, right out of the blood cells. And so I said, you know, this is quite the phenomenon. And that reverse transmissibility was also there. It could actually reverse from a bacteria back in to a previous form. And so what I learned is something that is taught in physics. And what is taught in physics, which unfortunately is not understood, and I mean no disrespect to anyone. What is not, and I say, what is not well understood is medical doctors do not understand the nature of matter, how it is created, how it is organized, and how it disorganizes. And it's all environmentally controlled. So what Antoine Béchamp discovered, and what he stated to others that came after him, is that the germ is nothing. This was a statement by Claude Bernard. The germ is nothing. The terrain is everything.
Mm-hmm.
The terrain is the internal environment, but it can also be the external environment. So when we start talking about global warming, what is the cause of global warming? Is it a virus? Or is it a toxin? Global warming is caused by a toxin. One of the major ones is hydrogen arsenic or carbon monoxide or titanium dioxide or now graphene. And when you look at if you go to Google and you Google the acid rain or deforestation or global warming and the forests of Denali in Alaska, what you see is you see the devastation of a large area that's been exposed to acid rain or carbon monoxide poisoning that's destroyed this forest, the Denali. And so you'll see trees that have no fruit. You'll see trees that have no pine needles. Trees that have no pine needles. And because of that, it's been destroyed. This is an environmental problem that we're dealing with. The key here, and I think what we're leading up to, because there's only been a few countries, and the first experiment took place November 29th of 2019, when the CCP decided to turn on 5G in a city called Wuhan, of which then the 5G, which is pulsating at 8.4 gigahertz, so it resonates at 41.3 gigahertz, there's a quantum link, and literally destroys your oxygen capability and literally suffocates you at 60 gigahertz, you're dead. And now 5G has the capability of even going higher, but nothing lives after 60 gigahertz. So right now we're experiencing microwaves at 2.4 gigahertz, which is called 4G. 5G is going to introduce at 8.4. That experiment was taking place in some meat market and some phantom bat that's carrying some theoretical virus has infected someone there because they eat, you know, crazy types of foods. Well, at least from our perspective, mm-hmm. the foods that I mean, I'm a vegan. I don't eat animal. Mm-hmm. I don't eat the blood because animal flesh is blood, and I don't eat the blood of animals. Mm-hmm. So that's because flesh is made from blood. You see, it goes back to my training. Blood is the primary stem cell for creating bones and muscles and tissues. If you eat flesh, you're eating blood. And we've been told not to do that, but for good reason. The biology's never been explained, but I've explained it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and when you eat meat, yes, that's you're taking in the anatomical elements that make up that organized matter into your body. You're taking not only the physicality of that, but you're taking the emotionality. You're also taking the spirituality of that animal into your body, and it can transform you. The body rejects it because you're a unique, special soul. And so what you put in your body does matter. Well, guess what? They blamed it on a theoretical virus that does not even exist, when in reality the experiment was radiation and what levels of radiation could a city withstand before people just start dropping over dead. And we don't know how many actually died. I mean, I would just be conjecturing on this, but lots, okay? Yeah. Lots of people died.
I agree.
Okay, and lots of guess who turned it on next? It went from Wuhan, and then you saw deaths, and then to expand this narrative. Yes, it's working by these bad actors and Luciferians. They expanded to Italy and to Spain.
Italy, where they also deployed the 5G system. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
and then Manhattan, and then Los Angeles.
Yes.
This is where then those who are either ignorant to this, or they actually buy into it, or they're part of it, you know, begin to say, you know, we have to, this is a pandemic, we need to shut the world down, and the origin of this is China. Yeah. And anyone that says this is a China virus has no idea,
of course,
that this narrative is completely 100% categorically unscientific. It is a lie.
I totally agree with you. And most of my audience is perfectly aware of that, just so you know. I mean, I should say that the audience that follow these live talks and these interviews and the shows that I do are actually quite aware. And still, I want to go back to what we started with, because I think, again, there's like really important point there. Look, few of us here in Israel, I know it's happening also elsewhere, yeah, but let's say now, few of us in Israel, for example, your blog post that I've shown just before with the various countries and institutions, yeah, that you named there, that mm-hmm. Show no proof of virus. I showed this document to the court in Israel because I had a court case about not wearing this bullshit cloth, right? So, and it's still going on. I should get the answer in a couple of weeks' time. Anyway, well, I showed many things in court.
Can I interject one thing?
Yeah.
Because I want people to know that we just received a letter from the Department of Health of New York
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that they have no evidence of the existence of any virus. Okay.
Excellent.
That's
Excellent.
New York. So now we have California saying this. We have New York saying this. We have all the major countries in the world saying this. And I just want you to know that you need to update the article, because every week that goes by, we're getting more information
mm-hmm.
and letters of admittance, you know, and these people are just trying to protect their own back end, so to speak. Yeah, yeah. You know?
I agree. You know? And thanks for this update. And still, what I like to ask is that, okay, we are told that there is a virus and it has been isolated. And obviously, it's a lie. Now, we can claim it's a lie and we can say, okay, show us a proof. Show us a picture. Show us a photo from electronic microscope, all right? Show us a real picture of an isolated virus, like what you claim. No other tissues, no other debris of a cell, no membrane, nothing of this sort. Just the virus that you claim is causing this disease, just on its own, like in the dictionary, the definition of isolation. Show us just that. Now, what they say, and if you can just explain that, what they say is that, yes, it has been isolated from a human being, and we did this procedure, this genetic sequencing on the computer, and we can tell you it's contagious and it caused the disease, and yes, this is the virus. Can you please share with us how we are being fooled here? What is this genetic sequencing they are doing on the computer and then claiming that this is the virus's isolation? Because none of us here, or at least the majority of us, is not a scientist, is not a doctor, is not a naturopath, is none whatsoever. So we need these explanations for people like yourself and there's others, as you may know, to explain to us what they're talking about. What is this computer generating sequencing, genetic sequencing that they're doing and showing us as if the virus exists?
Yeah. Well, the research they're doing, if they are isolating it and they are purifying it through centrifuge and they're taking an isolate from that purification, then they culture that, but they culture it and contaminate it with what are called viral cells, or they could be humans, aborted fetal cells. And that's a contamination, you know, and then they take that. And the question then comes up is what is really causing the effects after you've polluted it with foreign matter, when you're supposed to take the isolation of that so-called particulate that you're calling the virus, and then demonstrating its infectivity by injecting that into the animal, creating the same symptomology. Those particular procedures have been avoided in all of the studies. And I talk about that in dismantling the viral theory. I actually talk about the methodology, which is somewhat complex, but you can read it freely at drrobertyoung.com. I don't know if you want to bring it up. It's called Dismantling the Viral Theory. And if you bring that up, you can actually see, you know, how this procedure is supposed to take place. And then electron microscopy, optical microscopy, and spectroscopy, I've identified what we're seeing here, both in the blood and in the vials that are being classified as vaccines. In reality, they're nothing more than contaminated samples of that contain various nanoparticulates and microparticulates that are somewhat harmful. But this was the question that I was asking. Has the existence of polio, measles, the cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr, you know, hepatitis C, Ebola, even the flu, the influenza flu, is not viral at all. And then we take these cells, these are cells that have been colorized, and we're looking at these appendages, which are endogenously created. This is not an infection. I've had to change the wording on this. I call it outfectious. So disease is born in us and from us. So it's not this isn't, let's say, spike proteins attacking the cells. This is actually born out of the cells. And so I've added, you know, some videotape so you can actually see this, but these bacterial viruses or filterable bacteria is an invention to carry on a false narrative, which was also promulgated by Louis Pasteur, and it's been carrying out, you know, via the Rockefellers and all those who are using this theory to not make us better, but to make us more sick. And so we have an array of different chemicals in order to kill these bacteria. But here you see the detection of what are called bacterial phages, and that's what viruses used to be called. That these are cellular unravelings that take place because of a polluted environment. So what causes Zika? Zika is caused by a chemical poison, a toxin, glyphosate, the glyphosate, you know, here again, Roundup that's been identified as a contributing toxic factor to birth defects. What is the specific acid or toxin, you know, that is being used with the corona? What causes cell membranes to break down and give birth to exosomes as a protective measure for clotting factors? Why is the blood clotting inside our blood vessels? That was my doctorate for my dissertation for one of my doctorates was pathological blood coagulation. Why does blood clot inside? There has to be some sort of chemistry. So what I identified and published with another scientist in 2015 was the acid. Here, go back down. This is actually the process by which you do an isolation. And this is described here of how you isolate. And then using a pipette, you take that isolation out, which is represented by that line. And it's that isolation that they then take and poison or compromise the isolation by adding it to other cells or other matter, and then taking that and then identifying by computer something that's similar to that, and genetically recreating the genome, which doesn't even exist in nature. So it's a computer creation of an isolate that they say, yes, we isolated. Then they contaminated it. And then from that contamination, they create a sequence, a line, you know, which they computer generate. And it is totally unscientific. So this article explains that whole methodology, that all of these viruses, including the polio. So let's take polio, for example. Mm-hmm. What causes the symptoms of polio? Okay.
Sorry, if you want the article back, just say so.
They can read the article. I think, you know, if you take time and read it slowly, you'll get what I'm talking about.
I put the link already.
For every dis-ease, there's an acid. So for cancer, it's lactic and citric acid. Okay, that's not properly being eliminated. Where does lactic acid come from? It comes from metabolism. It's a waste product. When you overexercise, that acid goes into the connective tissue and the muscles, and you feel it as pain. Well, if it's not eliminated, then that pain could end up in as a deterioration of the cells, muscle cells, causing, you know, a cancerous condition, a sarcoma, you know, or a mass that's created. So acids are the major contributing factor, and acids are waste products or toxins from cellular metabolism or biological transformation. So for polio, what is the poison that causes destruction to the central and peripheral nervous system? It's called DDT.
DDT.
Right. So here again, between the poisons, chemical poisons, and the radiation, it's a 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
For those who receive the inoculation, okay, you have to say, well, what is in that inoculation? And under the emergency experiment that they're doing on the human race right now, those identified or those particular ingredients have not been listed. And the reason why is because if they were listed, you would not agree to have this inoculation. And that would thwart the outcomes of these bad actors. Because what's contained in this, which is now listed in my breakthrough article that I started the research in February, I published in August, and I updated several times up until October, the effects of it's called scanning and transmission electron microscopy in the identification of the contents of the corona or the COVID-19 vaccine. And that is on Dr. Robert Young too. But millions of people have read this article. Have you seen this article?
No. No.
So what you want to do is you want to go to drrobertyoung.com again.
Yeah.
And then you want to go down and find scanning and transmission electron microscopy, because I want you to see what red blood cells, and this is maybe new for you to hear. The red cells provide more immunity than the white blood cells. I'm going to say that again. The red blood cells are second in line to another process that takes place that has nothing to do with white blood cells and antibodies, okay? But it has everything to do to protecting the internal environment. The red cells will literally uptake these poisons. They will crystallize, and they become what are known as Heinz bodies. Now, hematology really doesn't understand what creates Heinz bodies, but they're not red blood cells anymore. They're black blood cells. I've got pictures of them. This is it. Scanning and transmission electron microscopy reveals reduced graphene oxide, reduced forms of graphene, which are called graphene hydroxide, which is reduced, okay, in all the vials, okay, contain this. And this information was attained through phased dark field and bright field microscopy using transmission scanning electron microscopy and energy dispersive X-ray spectroscopy, revealed the non-disclosed ingredients in the Pfizer BioNTech modified RNA vaccine, which is an abomination. The Moderna modified RNA 1273 vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, the Serum Institute of Oxford, AstraZeneca, which has actually been slowed down, I think the Janssen also, because of the not the side effects, but the actual effects that it causes because of their ingredients. All of these contain toxic nanoparticulates that are unsurvivable, and especially in the presence which these nanoparticulates become activated in body temperature, even the parasites that are contained with this, because I also find Trypanosoma cruzi parasites. I've seen in the blood, and I've documented this. But if you go down, keep going down, you're actually going to see what a graphene bomb looks like. And look what's around it.
It's the clotted blood cells.
That's right, and because it causes clots.
But also, sorry, for my what I know, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me, and these experiments were done, I think, in the 40s by this Nazi professor. I forgot his name. I published his work because Lena Poo was publishing his work. I forgot his name. And he showed that with radiation, the blood cells actually create these chains. They stick to one another and they cause clots, even without the graphene oxide. I mean, you add this obviously to the mix, and obviously you get some heart attacks.
Yeah, this just amplifies the problem. It makes it makes it more three-dimensional. If you go down to the next picture, you'll actually see several of this is what healthy blood should look like.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are Heinz body. This is crystallized red blood cells that uptick graphene oxide and literally crystallize it. So this is an over enlarged red blood cell, and you can actually see the rouleau or the chaining of the red blood cells on a what is called a graphene tube, or you know filament. Here you see a fiber, and you can see just like you were taking a magnetic rod and putting it into the blood, these fragments, these graphene nano and micro particulates, literally cause the clotting of the blood. And then when you're looking at what's inside the clot, you can actually see the graphene oxide and these threads or tubules, even the round nanobots that was in the last picture, you can actually pick those up. But clotted normal blood, if you go down a little bit further, is what is seen on the left.
Yeah.
The right is abnormal blood coagulation. And if you're looking at the white areas in around that, all that white is polymerized protein from cells that are breaking down, that are disintegrating. And based on their molecular weight, you know, it tells me exactly where that cellular breakdown is taking place in the human body. This is some research I've been doing for the last 40 years. It's evident that it's coming from it. These are some of the particulates as well as some of the parasites that are showing up in the blood. I don't know if you've seen these pictures or not.
Yes, I have.
This is called a graphene ribbon. So the graphene ribbons and threads, this is using optical microscopy. And then, the whole report, it's 80 pages long.
Yeah.
Here's a nano capsid using scanning electron microscopy.
What are these white little things?
Those are the lipid nanostructures that are in the vaccines. But we have to use transmission electron microscopy to actually see what's inside those. And so we're not only just looking at them anatomically, but we're looking at them, and this is what the body does. It literally crystallizes. It crystallizes the fluids, the poisons. And what you see in this video, you actually see two neutrophils, two white blood cells that are streaming through the blood. And you can see the irregular shapes of the red blood cells. You can see here again the granulocytes or granules that are contained within that. You can actually see the small bacteria or cell fragments that it's actually picked up. But what you see appearing is a neutrophil then encompassing what is called a Y-form yeast. So neutrophils, which make up 2/3 of the white count, they're responsible for cleaning up the environment. Well, what are they cleaning up? They're cleaning up the effects of the radiation and chemical poisoning. That's the true cause of all this. You know, you can blame it on yeast, you can blame it on bacteria, but those are just symptoms of cellular breakdown. And that the real poison is right there. It's been crystallized because that's what the body does. What is worse? The liquid that can permeate cell membranes, or is a crystallization of that? And so the body will crystallize that, and we can identify it by color. We can also identify it by its electron signature using dispersive X-ray spectroscopy, which reveals the reduced graphene oxide or hydroxide. And we do that here again. How do we know? Because it has a signature. And that signature can be identified using this methodology.
Robert, there's a question here, which also I wanted to ask. By the way, I published all the links that I showed till now. So the audience and whoever will watch it later has these links, and you can obviously go into the website and examine them themselves. The question is, well, few people ask the same questions, and also in my head, how can people that are injected survive such a poison, if they can at all?
Well, this is why it's very, very important to take the words of Hosea, when he said, "My people perish because of ignorance. My people perish because of lack of knowledge." You have to empower yourself with knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and you have to really discern on a spiritual and a prayerful way. You have to discern the sources that you're listening to.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you're listening to me right now, but it's important, you know, that what I'm saying, because words have meaning, but they also have frequencies. And are we connecting on a quantum level? You know, since our distance is quite far mm-hmm. apart, are we connecting? And the answer is hopefully we are. But this is a personal thing. I can only tell you my experience and what I've discovered over 40 years of investigation. And trust me, it's not been easy to share this with the world, because those who run it don't want this information out there. And the reason why, because it empowers you with the knowledge to take care of yourself, because it is your body. It is your life, and it's your choice. So in answer to the question, if you have been injected with any vile substance, if you are ingesting, you know, the blood of animals, if you're taking in foods that are not balancing and alkalizing to the fluids of the body, because this all gets pushed out into the interstitium organ, which is the largest organ of the body, and can affect the quality of every cell that makes up every organ, every gland, and every tissue. So the key is very simple: what you can do. What you have to do is you have to be able to test the largest body of water that surrounds the fish or surrounds every cell that determines the health of the cell. Regardless of what you're breathing, that's not in your control. I mean, yes, stay away from air pollution, move out of the cities, move out to the suburbs, away from all of the air pollution and the electrical magnetic pollution, shut down your Wi-Fi, go to hardwire, you know, use your cell phones only in emergency,
sure.
You know, use your computers with prudence, because your computer is more toxic than smoking 100 cigarettes a day, with the radiation coming off the screen, your cell phones, the exposure to Wi-Fi. It's amazing that the human organism can even stay together. And then when you want to put insult to injury, where you've already been injured, to literally receive a caustic, toxic, you know, witch's brew inoculation of graphene to aluminum to titanium mm-hmm. to whatever mm-hmm. godforsaken, you know, nano or micro particulate they're putting into these things, including nanobots that are containing micro nanochips that will link you up to the Internet of Things, which is what they call, because when they look in the mirror, they don't see themselves. They see what they think they see, and they call themselves gods. They think they are God.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been enmity that has been placed between them and those bad actors and Luciferians acting in behalf of those in the other world. There's been enmity that has been placed between the seed of a woman and us, you know, because that's where we come from. And so you know, we have protection.
So I go back to the question, someone who already took this poison into his body, given it's not a placebo, yeah, it's not just a liquid, is there a way, and if so, what is the way,
okay,
to purify the blood or to clean the blood for me, to clean the body for me?
Yeah, if you don't purify the blood, you cannot purify the organs. And so you have to look at this by, what can I do at home? How can I test? What is a meaningful test that I can do? And what you can do is you can get some pH hydrant paper, mm-hmm, litmus paper, and you can test your urine, designed for testing urine. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is, when you're testing urine, I want you to understand that urine is a product of the interstitial fluid. And that's the fluid that surrounds all the cells. It makes up 80% of the extracellular fluids. Vascular fluids is only 20%. Vascular dumps all of its waste into the interstitium, interstitial fluid. Cells dump all their waste into the interstitial fluid. All that waste is then eliminated through orifices of the body, through sweat, through urine, through defecation, through respiration. So when you test your urine, you're going to find, you know, that on a scale from 0 to 14, you're going to be ideal for interstitial fluid, not for blood,
mm-hmm,
is 8.4 on a pH from 0 to 14.
This is the urine. Now,
this is urine.
8.4. Okay. All right.
Now,
yeah,
now your doctor is going to disagree with that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
But then, of course, you're going to ask your doctor, well, how much do you know about the biochemistry of the interstitial fluids of the interstitium? And then it's end of discussion, because they don't study it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like out of sight, out of mind. Okay. So the fluids, the urine, 8.4 is ideal. Most people are in the fives. Now, this is exponential to the power of 10. So when you're looking at 8.4 to 5, that's 1, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 3 and a half times. So that's 10, 100, 1,000, 50,000. When you're living in, your cells are living in a fluid that's 50,000 times more toxic than normal, you have a problem.
Okay? And what's the alkalinity of the blood? How much it should be?
Well, alkalinity of the blood is between 7.365 to 7.4.
Yeah.
And it doesn't vary more than 0.2. If it drops to 7.1, you're in a coma, and at 6.9, you're dead.
But still, Robert, sorry, it does not give me the answer to how to purify the blood.
So the answer is, first you have to test. And you now let's go back to history, 1918. What were they doing to survive? Those people that survived, that did not get sick, that actually went through this introduction of radio waves and vaccinations, where close to 100 million people died worldwide, they took one teaspoon, less than a gram or around a gram, okay, one teaspoon, whatever a teaspoon is, okay, a little teaspoon, 1 to 3 grams or less, they put it in distilled or alkaline water, purified water, approximately 120 mLs, and they drank that 3 times a day.
But sorry, teaspoon of what?
Sodium bicarbonate, baking soda.
Baking soda, yeah, all right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, why would you take sodium bicarbonate? Dr. Young, is that natural? Most people don't realize this, but the stomach produces every second, every minute, every day, every week, every month, every year of your life. The stomach produces a compound by pulling water, carbon dioxide, and salt from the body fluids, from the blood specifically, and in the cover of that stomach produces a compound called sodium bicarbonate, and its waste product, which is the only thing left after the body's used the sodium bicarbonate to alkalize the food you eat, or to push it out into the blood to maintain the delicate pH of the blood at 7.365, or to increase alkalinity to the interstitial fluid, produces a waste product called hydrochloric acid, which is a poison, a toxic, and has no value whatsoever. The stomach does not digest food. The stomach alkalizes food. The stomach produces, you know, you can emotionally get upset about what we're talking about here, and you can have a little, you can have a little upset stomach, you know, because you're thinking about, well, this is really great. I love what I'm hearing here, or, you know, I don't like, and I can get, and somebody could get upset. Well, where do you feel that upset? You feel it in the stomach, because when you're thinking, you're producing acidic waste. And when you're producing acidic waste, the stomach needs to neutralize that acidic waste. And it does it by producing sodium bicarbonate. So what you have to do is not only non-patentable, because you can't produce something, you cannot patent something in nature, something that's inexpensive, something that is local, that you can get anywhere in the world, is pharmaceutical grade sodium bicarbonate, free of aluminum oxide. Obviously. Okay, without the caking agent, put a teaspoon in water, drink it, and begin, because the pH of sodium bicarbonate has a pH of 8.4, and drink that throughout the day. That's the simplest thing that I can teach you, you know, how to maintain the alkaline design of the body fluids, because if you do that, you know what'll happen? That'll maintain the integrity of the cell. That will support the red blood cells. That will support the white blood cells. Now, in addition to that, if you read the pH Miracle Revised and Updated, or if you read my book Sick and Tired, or if you go and read my articles, you know, on food, or what can I do, or if you go to Rumble and read and watch some of the videos, you're going to learn. Or Romola D. Romola D has done numerous interviews. One of those happens to be on the wonders of a special clay that comes from a city called Montmorillon. And the clay is a Montmorillonite clay that was discovered in France that can be put in water that animals and birds eat. And you can find this on YouTube. Why do birds and animals eat dirt? Why do they eat clay? Why? Because it neutralizes the poisons. Now, the beautiful thing about alkalizing, that helps to maintain, but what about the graphene, reduced graphene oxide and the other particulates that you're breathing in, that you're getting from, and other poisons, you know, metabolic, dietary, environmental, how do I neutralize those? By, you know, a simple teaspoon or up to maybe 2 or 3 grams of the Montmorillonite clay. It's a green clay. It's a smectite clay. You put it in water, you drink it, to protect what? To absorb, because it can absorb 100 times its own mass. Absorb because it is adsorptive, so it has an electrical field that's negatively charged. It'll uptake.
So it pulls.
It pulls it to its membrane, and then it takes it inside its body.
And then it goes out what? From the urine? I mean, how it goes out?
It goes out. Well, it goes out through the urine. It goes out through the sweat. It goes out through defecation.
Excellent.
This is how you neutralize hydrochloric acid in the stomach. This is how you neutralize bacteria and toxins in the small and large intestine. This is how you get it into the blood, is through absorption in the intestinal villi as it's taken up into the vein, the large port that goes from the portal vein to the inferior vena cava. But you know the intestinal villi have venules and lacteals and arterioles. But anyway, the venules are ones that take this fluid up into the blood. And then of course it goes then throughout the entire body. But the intestinal villi are protected when you're minimizing this waste from food, you know, the toxic waste from food or chemical waste, you know, that may be in food. That's why I always recommend organic live foods, you know, grow your own foods, buy organic seeds, grow your food, sprout your food. And this can be very helpful.
But basically, Robert, if someone is to eat alkaline food, whether it's sprouts and whether it's fruits and veg and whether it's whichever is alkaline food, one should be sorted with that diet, given the alkalinity or acidity of the stomach and as a result also of the blood. Is that true to say?
Well, are you talking about salted? You mean salting the food? Did you say that?
No. Just eating alkaline food. Like
well, our
fruits and veg and sprouts and, almond. Right.
Yeah, we're talking about foods that contain a high level of electrons getting out of the sun, absorbing photons of light that can be transformed into electrical energy. Our bodies are electrical. We're electrical beings, but produce produce chemical waste. And the way we deal with that chemical waste is the body can bind it up through crystallization. Or it can eliminate it through sweat when you exercise. You're eliminating metabolic waste. But the body uses the orifices to get rid of the stuff. But if they become blocked, then things build up. Then what happens to these wastes? They go into the connective tissue. So someone that is highly toxic is adsorbing and absorbing this metabolic dietary environmental waste. It's being taken up into the connective and fatty tissues. And that's why we have so many disorders in those particular areas. And the neurological problems, so if you're breathing DDT, or if you're taking in glyphosates, from Roundup poisoned food.
Plus fluoride, plus heavy metals, plus radiation, plus so much other poisons in the environment, obviously.
Yeah. So this is how you can protect yourself. Is you have to make changes in what you eat, what you drink, what you breathe, what you think, what you feel, and what you believe. These are the main contributing factors of what I call the one sickness and one disease, which is the over-acidification of the blood and then interstitial fluids due to an inversion, due to an inverted way of living, eating, thinking, breathing, feeling, and believing. So as we make those changes, we can then protect ourselves. And I outline this in chapters 4 and 5 with a protocol in chapter 11 in the book, The pH Miracle Revised and Updated. Mm-hmm. And when you read this, the chapter is called Cows, chapter 4, Cows, COWS. What does COWS stand for? It stands for the 7 doctors that you need to put into your life. Dr. Chlorophyll. This is C, Dr. Chlorophyll.
Yeah.
Dr. Clay. Those are 2 doctors. The O stands for Dr. Oxygen. Dr. Oil. Now you've got 4 doctors. The 5th doctor is Dr. W, or stands for water. Mm-hmm. The S on cows stands for Dr. Salt. Dr. Sexercise, or whatever, you need to get exercise. So those are the 7 doctors that you need to incorporate into your life to not only preserve your own life, but to promulgate, the population with healthy beings, human beings. Yeah.
So I encourage the audience to go to your website, drrobertyoung.com, and have a look, obviously, on the blog post, the related ones that I put links on, and obviously your book. Maybe one question I have in mind, going back to this terrain theory, the germ theory, virology theory. It's all just theories there, but, I'm thinking about those who have channels like me, those who do broadcasts and have audience to follow them, and those who have this audience but choose not to speak or not to doubt the main narrative of viruses. What should we think of them?
Well, we should love them because they're our brothers and sisters. We should reach out to them. We should always have an open agenda to be able to teach them when they're ready to be taught. We should encourage them in a loving fashion, not in a way that would be antagonistic. And one thing that we can all do is we can start praying. Prayer has a frequency that can not only serve you and your life and improve the quality and quantity of your life, but it's a means of communication between all those who have gone on or those who are there, you know, to communicate with us and through us.
Yeah, but Robert, sorry, I'm not sure if you understood my question, so let me repeat it. I'm talking about those who actually have channels and they have followers and they do not confront this issue. This, I find it to be very important issue, you know, the virus theory, the virus narrative. If they do not confront it, and they do exist, whether it in the States, whether in Israel, whether it's in other countries, those who actually knowingly or unknowingly serving the narrative, all right, by not confronting the issue of do viruses exist? Have they been isolated? Has been the corona, the COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 or whatever, has it ever been isolated? Those who do not confront this issue, how should we deal with them, treat them? What should we think about them? Because it's a real problem, because obviously there's controlled opposition. Now, if you do it unknowingly, that's fine. Maybe you should learn, you should educate yourself, and maybe the audience should educate you. But if you do it knowingly, and by that you mislead your audience, it's a real problem, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a real problem, but you have to do it with love and you have to do it by invitation. I invite any of these folks who have a differing opinion to please show me, show the world, show us the evidence. Many years ago, when I was able to do so, I'm not now, there was a very handsome reward for anyone that could prove using Koch or Rivers postulates through scientific investigation, the efficacy of any virus. And specifically, I was targeted on HIV.
Yeah.
HIV has never been isolated.
Yeah.
It's never been proven to exist.
Have you seen, by the way, Robert, have you seen the talk where Andrew Kaufman is confronting Judy Mikovich on this matter? Have you seen it?
Well, Judy and I differ, but you know, 90% of what we talk about, we agree upon. It's that 10%, and I respect Judy Mikovits' position. Mm-hmm. Her experience is different than mine, but Kaufman will challenge anyone to the purity of the investigations and whether they've done investigations at all. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Kaufman. Mm-hmm. And I also agree with, in general speaking, with Mikovits, even though, you know, Judy is focused on something that she's been theoretically isolating. In reality, she's been looking at, you know, those things which have been contaminated. And that's mm-hmm. what Kaufman was saying.
Exactly.
And he was saying the same thing as do I like being a lone voice? I mean, thank God there's the Kaufmans of the world. Thank God that Andy's out. For many, many years, you know, I've been talking about this. I wrote A Second Thought About Viruses, Vaccines, and the HIV Hypothesis. That's one of my books. But I'll tell you, a scientist who also agrees with us is professor at the University of Berkeley, California, Berkeley, is Duisberg, who wrote the book Inventing the AIDS Virus. Now, why would he say something like that? I mean, he's a well-respected virologist, and he's saying, wait a minute, are you saying HIV doesn't exist? Not only did he say HIV is not the cause of AIDS, but guess who else said that, and he received the Nobel Prize?
Luc Montagnier.
That's right. And in 2011, Luc Montagnier and myself were keynote speakers at a conference in Milan. Mm-hmm. And he had left the University of Paris, actually got thrown out because of his position that HIV or his new view, his new worldview of this was being put into question, Now, he's no longer, I don't know what university he was at, Tsinghua or what have you over there, but I've been over there, you know, and I know how these people think. And I've lectured at Harvard. I've lectured at Tsinghua. And yes, he was there. And it takes a brave person to stand up and speak the truth, to actually speak what's going on. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to trust you, you know, and do your homework and learn and gain this knowledge, because knowledge is power. And that power has the power to save and preserve your life. Hmm. I care enough about myself and my children and my grandchildren, because I'm 70 years old. I mean, I'm not getting any younger, but I care about this, about my country. I care about all people, all humanity. And we as brothers and sisters need to come together and understand that there's a few that have now infiltrated our governments and the politics that are going on, and it's evidence by their works you shall know them, that it is not good. And that's all I'm saying. I mean, judge people by their works, not by their words. And so I respect Andy Kaufman. At the same time, even though she's opposite on the germ theory, I respect Judy Mikovits, who's been through hell and back.
She has been
persecuted. Yeah, by the hands of those who she worked with.
Yeah,
you know, Tony. But the bottom line is she's my sister. She's
a brave woman. There's no doubt here. I mean,
great woman. So I extend her every opportunity and explain my position, not in a combative way, but I explain it, and she explains her system, and I say, okay, I hear you, you know, I just don't agree with you, you know.
But you know, it's like, especially now in this time, in this period, we have to have this discernment with compassion, with, encompassing heart to include everyone, but still to have this discernment regarding the truth. Because although Judy Mikovits is great, she's a brave woman, she's been through hell, I totally agree with that, still there's this point which is really crucial, and it's the terrain theory or the germ theory. And she, like many others, I have nothing personal against her, I don't know her, and I have a lot of respect to her, and I think also Andrew Kaufman has a lot of respect to her, still on that point she needs to do, sorry for that, I'm just saying it, she has to do homework, like many other scientists and doctors that have been duped, have been fooled, have been going in the wrong, taking the wrong turn somewhere along over the years. And you know, I hope, I pray that doctors from Israel would see this talk that we have now and listen to the words that you've been saying, and they should listen to Dr. Kaufman and Stefan Lanka and Thomas Cowan, and follow the postulate, yes, of Koch and Rivers, because this is so important, and it's very crucial, because millions of lives now depend on that, and the whole house of cards of this fake corona story, I believe we can really make it all crumble down just by exposing this lie of whether the virus was isolated or not, and then follow that, whether viruses at all along history been isolated or not. And I think it's so crucial that even people, again, like Judy Mikovits, not just her, but like her, who are respectable and they've been through a lot and they real true warriors, they need also, for our sake and for the sake of the truth, to do this last bit, this last mile. And I just get some messages for you in Hebrew to tell you that we people love you and appreciate the time that you give to this excellent interview and your courage. Just so you know, I've been getting some comments here in Hebrew.
Well, in Hebrew, I wished I could say it, and maybe I will misspeak here. Shem Aleph Dalet. These words, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing them correctly. My interpretation of these words is that which will give you eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That which will give you life is grass. Okay, yes. grass, green grass.
Green chlorophyll, grass.
Chlorophyll. If you want to save your life, if you want to build your blood, then even Moses in Genesis stated that all green foods shall be for your meat. That when you obtain the chlorophyll molecule, you have to understand scientifically it's identical to a hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is the key to life. It is the key molecule, and it's identical to the chlorophyll molecule.
Yes.
And those words in Hebrew, and I apologize, I don't.
No, that's
saying,
fine.
Saying it correct. That these words for grass, for eternal life, are represented in this green food.
It's the same structure. The chlorophyll and the hemoglobin is the same structure. The only difference is the in the middle is the hemoglobin. Yeah. There's iron. Yeah,
that's correct. The center atom is the only difference, but they all act as electromagnetic sink.
Yes.
For plants, it's magnesium that takes on the photons of light. That's literally converted. So that chlorophyll converts to foundational stem cells. And we have seen this over and over, cause and effect relationship, cause and effect relation. More green foods, higher blood counts. More chlorophyll, more hemoglobin.
Yes.
And this happens over and over again. And that's how you protect yourself. And so if you go back to the simple plants, to live sprouts, green foods, this is how you can clean up the poisons within you. This is how you can build healthy blood. And yes, this is the way animals in the wild do it. You know, that don't have grocery stores or markets that they can go to. But you'll have to do what I've tried to do, and that's to grow your own food. And so growing avocados and grapefruits and five to seven tons of vegetables that I was sharing around the world. These are foods that will bring life back to you. Mm-hmm. You know, stay away from the acidic foods, and you can learn all about which foods are acidic and which foods are alkaline in my books. Or you can actually Google acidic food, Dr. Young's acidic foods or alkaline foods under images, and you can actually find the charts. It's free, and so what do I get out of this? You know, by doing these discussions and giving you this information, I get peace of mind. I get joy to my soul, and my satisfaction is seeing the afflicted and those who have cause to mourn literally get out of their beds, get out of their wheelchairs, literally rise again. And it's because they learn something simple of how to build healthy blood, and by doing so, building and reconstructing a whole new body, because that's what you do. It takes about 9 to 12 months to do it, but things happen very rapidly when you're building blood. You just feel better. You look better. And the more you can do that, the better you'll be, the better you'll feel. And you don't have to come to me. You know, you don't have to go to anybody else. You have to come to yourself, gain the knowledge. You must be the change you want to see.
Excellent. Absolutely.
You must be the cure you want to have. I can't cure you. I can't protect you. You need to protect yourself. And I think we get that instruction when we fly on planes. They say if the oxygen in the cabin reduces, a mask will come down. Please put your mask on first before you help anyone else. So put your mask on.
Yes.
You know, and take care of yourself.
But not these masks, but the knowledge mask. I mean,
the mask of knowledge. Very, very good metaphor. The mask of knowledge. Yeah. The other masks are worthless and useless against nanoparticulates. So, yeah. So that would be my advice to anyone who's asking me, what do you do for this? What do you do for that? There is no what or that. There just is. You know, there are no diseases. They're just symptoms of a polluted environment that's giving rise to dis-ease. And once we understand that there are various stages of dis-ease that go from enervation to irritation to inflammation to induration to ulceration to degeneration, and that's just one dis-ease that's caused by an over-acidification of the blood and then interstitial fluids due to an inverted way of living, eating, breathing, thinking, feeling, believing, that once we realize that we have the power, have always had the power to take care of ourselves, and we don't need anyone else. We just need to have the power of knowledge, and that's what Moses was saying and called upon the children of Israel to listen, you know, to just listen. And that's all I'm doing. And I'm not putting myself, you know, up to this great prophet. All I'm saying is based on my life, my experience, and what I've seen, all I'm saying is educate, don't medicate.
Absolutely.
Educate, do not vaccinate. Listen to me. Education will cure you. Vaccination will kill you.
Yeah.
Educate, don't medicate. Empower yourself with truth, with light, with knowledge, and this is what will save you.
Dr. Robert O. Young, thank you ever so much for this podcast and all the knowledge you share with us on your website and various other interviews you gave over the years. Thank you very much from the people of Israel and from people from the UK, US, Norway, Poland, Romania, other countries, viewers from other countries who were here with us. Thank you very much. And I reserve the right to address you again, maybe for another talk, given the responses from the audience. Thank you very much. God bless us all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.